Good morning. Welcome to Bible Talk. Last week on our program, we began talking about the righteousness that exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. In Matthew chapter 5, in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, several times we read Jesus saying, "You have heard that it was said to those of old," and then He would state a particular teaching. And then Jesus would say, "But I say to you," and then He would give His teaching. We stated last week that in order to understand this passage, it is important to recognize that teaching at this time could be divided into three different categories. First, there was the teaching of the law. This was what the law of Moses actually said, which was still binding at this time. Second, there was what the people were hearing that the law of Moses said. Now, what the law of Moses actually said and what the people were hearing was not necessarily the same. And thirdly, there was the teaching of Jesus concerning how it would be in His kingdom. As I understand this passage, Jesus is not comparing His teaching with Moses' law, but He is comparing His teaching with what they were hearing that Moses taught. Notice what He says in verse 20. "For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." Many people viewed the teachings of the scribes and Pharisees as being what the law actually was saying, but that was not true. What the scribes and Pharisees were teaching was one thing, and what the law actually said was another. Jesus tells them that their righteousness must exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. And He gives examples of where their righteousness needed to exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. We looked at the first two last week concerning murder in verses 21 to 26, and then concerning adultery in verses 27 through 30. Now let's look at what Jesus says in verses 31 and 32. "Furthermore, it has been said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you, that whoever divorces his wife for any reason except sexual immorality causes her to commit adultery. And whoever marries a woman who is divorced commits adultery." Apparently, by the time Jesus was born, there had come to be loose views among the Jews in regard to divorce. There was the school of Hillel, and this school taught that a man might put away his wife for various causes, even trivial causes, such as if there was someone else the man liked better, or if the wife cooked his dinner badly. They seemed to find justification for this in Deuteronomy 24, verses 1 through 4, where Moses permits the man to give her a certificate of divorce and to put her away. Well, Jesus here proceeds to give the correct view of marriage, divorce, and remarriage. Jesus says that there is only one cause for divorce that God allows, and that is for sexual immorality, fornication. You know, some today within the church have the idea that it is all right to divorce one's mate for other reasons, as long as he or she does not remarry. The idea is that the divorce is not sin, but it is the remarriage that is sin. But notice the wording of our Lord here in this passage. He says, "But I say to you that whoever divorces his wife for any reason except sexual immorality causes her to commit adultery." A man who divorces his wife for some other reason than sexual immorality places his wife in a position of temptation. And in that position of temptation, she remarries and commits adultery. Now, when she is tempted and she gives into the temptation and commits adultery, yes, she sins. But what the Lord is saying here is that the husband who divorced her is not guiltless because he has put her in that position. He caused her to commit adultery. Jesus is saying that the divorce is also sin. And He also says that whoever marries a woman who is divorced commits adultery. In Matthew chapter 19, verse 3, Jesus is asked the question by the Pharisees, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason?" Well, Jesus answers their question by going back to the beginning where the Scripture says that God made them male and female. And it also says, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Now, Jesus concludes from these statements that God is the one who joins husband and wife together, and what God has joined together, let not man separate. You see, divorce for some other reason than sexual immorality is separating what God joined together, and that is sin. Well, here in Matthew chapter 19, they question Jesus about Deuteronomy 24. They say, why then did Moses command to give a certificate of divorce and to put her away? Well, Jesus responded, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, permitted you to divorce your wives. But from the beginning it was not so. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery. And whoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery. Matthew 19, verses 7 through 9. Jesus is teaching concerning marriage, divorce, and remarriage is based on what God established at the beginning. God established marriage to be between a man and a woman, and they are to stay married until death parts them. To divorce, except for sexual immorality, is to commit sin. It is separating what God joined together. And Jesus says here in Matthew 5 that it will cause your mate to commit adultery. You know, today marriage is taken so lightly by so many. They do not understand the seriousness of the commitment that they are making in marriage. In the excitement of the wedding day, the vows that are made by the bride and groom just seem to go right over their heads. They say, I do, but they have little understanding to what they have said, I do too. It is important for someone to get with a couple before the wedding day. And when there is not the excitement of the moment, they can talk about what they are going to vow before God and to one another. Jesus here is wanting us to understand the seriousness of marriage. Now let's go back to Matthew chapter 5. Look at verses 33 through 37. Jesus says, again you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform your oaths to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is His footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. Nor shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or black. But let your yes be yes, and your no, no. For whatever is more than these is from the evil one. Well, the Jews had introduced a number of oaths in common conversation, which they believed did not have the binding force of an oath. It seems the scribes and Pharisees taught that oaths which did not include the name of God were not binding. Oaths by heaven, by the earth, by Jerusalem, by your head. And that these oaths were not binding. Well, because of this distinction, daily conversations included meaningless oaths to make impressions. Well, Jesus shows that these distinctions did not change the binding force of their oaths. He shows that one cannot swear by these things without involving God. Heaven is the throne of God. Earth is His footstool. Jerusalem is the city of the great King who is God. Only God can make our hair white or black. And he also says, do not swear at all by these. Well, what does he mean? Well, we do know that the law of Moses allowed swearing and making oaths as long as they kept their oaths. Moses said to the children of Israel in Deuteronomy 6 and verse 13, you shall fear the Lord your God and serve him, and shall take oaths in his name. But it was emphasized that they were to keep their oaths. Emphasis was placed on truthfulness and faithfulness. Look at Numbers 30 and verse 2. If a man makes a vow to the Lord or swears an oath to bind himself by some agreement, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceeds out of his mouth. Deuteronomy 23 verse 21. When you make a vow to the Lord your God, you shall not delay to pay it, for the Lord your God will surely require it of you. And it would be sin to you. Under the law of Moses, a person was to be truthful when he swore an oath. He was to be faithful in keeping the oath. And not only that, they were always to be truthful in their hearts. Psalm 15 verses 1 and 2 says, Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. And so the law did not prohibit swearing oaths, but it required truthfulness and faithfulness in all things. But in the days that Jesus lived upon the earth, it appears that the emphasis had shifted from being truthful and faithful in all things to finding ways to make promises they didn't have to keep. And so the scribes and Pharisees made these ridiculous distinctions in oaths. Some were binding and some were not. Well, Jesus is emphasizing here that they need to always tell the truth. He says, but let your yes be yes and your no, no, for whatever is more than these is from the evil one. But is Jesus saying that all swearing of oaths are sinful? Well, no, because we have already seen that the law of Moses allowed oaths as long as they kept the oaths. And we also know that God himself made oaths. Hebrews 6:13 says, For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself. And also Jesus answered to an oath before Caiaphas, Matthew 26 verses 63 and 64. Paul made an oath when writing to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 1 verse 23. He said, Moreover, I call God as a witness against my soul, that to spare you, I came no more to Corinth. Well, to call God as a witness against your soul is to make an oath. It is swearing that what you are saying is the truth. And so obviously, not all oaths are sinful. Judicial oaths and oaths of solemn religious importance would not be included in Jesus' prohibition. It's not wrong to swear an oath in a court of law. It's not wrong to make vows before God on your wedding day. So what does Jesus mean when he says, do not swear at all? Well, he is prohibiting the frivolous oaths in common conversations that allowed them to make promises they didn't want to keep. He is saying to these Jews, stop doing that and tell the truth in all you say. Let your yes be yes, and your no, no. We are to be so truthful that our yes means yes, and our no means no. And we should be so truthful that it would not even be necessary for us to swear oaths in order to be trusted. Jesus here is emphasizing the importance of always telling the truth. Well, our time is gone for today, but we want to continue our study of Matthew chapter 5 next week, so we hope that you'll join us then. But before we close, we want to invite you to check out our website. On this website, you're able to hear sermons on a variety of Bible topics, and you're also able to hear previous Bible Talk radio broadcasts. The web address is sjchurchofchrist.com. That's sjchurchofchrist.com. Also, if you would like a free audio CD copy of today's program, or a transcript of the program, or of any of our Bible Talk broadcast, then just give us your name and address, along with the title of the program that you would like a copy of, and we will be glad to send it to you absolutely free of charge. There are three ways that you may send in your requests. You may email it in. Our email address is sjchurch@fidnet.com. That's FIDNET.com. Or you may call it in. Our telephone number is 573-265-8628. Or you may mail it in through the U.S. Postal Service. Our address is Bible Talk, P.O. Box 308, St. James, Missouri, 65559.